This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
We are continuing with our Book and the Spade Biblical Archaeology Adventure Tour. We are in Turkey, in Antalya, Turkey, on the Turkish Riviera. And once again, we're joined by Mark Wilson. Mark's been on the program several times. He's the founder and director of the Asia Minor Research Center. And for starters, fill us in on the history and the mission of the Asia Minor Research Center.
I first came to Turkey in 1992, kind of in the course of beginning my own doctoral study in the Book of Revelation. And I arrived here and I was just amazed at the rich biblical heritage in the country. In the course of a few trips and leading my first tours over here, I did one of the programs at Jerusalem University College in historical geography, and I really benefited from that so much, and I thought to myself, we really need something like that in Turkey. My wife and I moved over here in 2004, and we began the Asia Minor Research Center. We have a 501c3 nonprofit in the United States to support this. Our whole goal is to make Christians around the world aware of the rich Jewish and Christian heritage that we have here in the country. And so through tours, writing, media, we've been trying to make people aware of journeys of Paul, the seven churches, early church history, as well as Peter and his communities here.
And you've just finished an event that's kind of an example of all that you do.
Yeah, we had a Peter and Paul seminar down in Antioch on the Orontes, ancient Antioch, almost 100 people there. And then we followed that up with a tour following Paul's first journey, actually going into Cyprus as well.
And this also resulted in a book, Biblical Turkey. How did that come about?
Well, the groups, of course, I had to prepare notes to lead the groups, and those notes continued to grow. And people asked me, can we have copies of this? And in 2010, I took the time to put all this together. And I wanted to have it published in Turkey so it would be available at the museum shops around the country for visitors who are here. And so the leading archaeology and ancient history publisher is located in Istanbul. And I contacted him. He was very eager to publish this. And now we have our fifth printing, 25,000 of these in print. And one of the beauties of publishing it here is with ongoing archaeological discoveries and the new things that I learn about, I can make additions and adjustments to the text every time we print a new version.
So what kind of a feedback have you gotten about the book?
Well, I'm very pleased with people really around the world who are using it, some as textbooks. A lot of people use it as a guidebook for coming over here. So I've had two students with Japanese background that were here today and came over to my office, and the book has actually been translated into Japanese, into German, and we have a Chinese version about to be released, too. So I'm just very gratified with the response that people have given me on it.
And you have a new book just out.
Yeah, one of my recent projects has been exploring all the ports that Paul visited on his journeys, beginning from Israel all the way to Spain. I do think Paul got to Spain. And I broke out the Turkey portion initially and published a version of all the ports here in Turkey called Paul's Anatolian Harbors, and that just came out here recently.
You have been tracking Paul not just here in Turkey, but in adjacent countries as well?
Yes. So we got an article coming out this year on Paul in Macedonia. It's been part of a Roman roads project that we've done all through from Italy to Israel. We published with my colleague Glenn Thompson a volume on Paul's arrival in Rome, tracking him from the port of Puteoli, where he lands on his captivity journey, connecting with the Via Appia and making it into Rome. And we project a seven-day journey and looking at the various archaeological realia that still exist in Italy along the way that Paul would have seen as he made his way from the port there onto the imperial city.
So how hard is it to track in today's world remnants of Paul's journeys, the Roman highways that still exist? Is that something that can be done?
It can very much be done. It varies by country. So, for example, what was challenging in Italy, because Each province has their own archaeological district and oversight, and so the archaeologists and the publications we found there were pretty narrow, you know, without overview. So we each section, we had to find the relevant documents. There's a couple Italian archaeologists that have worked on big picture with Roman roads, but by and large, we had to delve into a lot of local studies that gave us information on the sites that we're looking for.
And how about in Turkey? Are there Roman roads that people can still walk?
Absolutely. So one of my pleasures of living in Turkey, I had the opportunity to meet and actually do field studies with two of the great Roman scholars here, Stephen Mitchell and David French. And David French's lifelong work was to track Roman roads. And these have all been published now on as a monograph series on the British Institute of Archaeology. So his life work free of charge to download by regions here in Turkey, and he's documented all the milestones that are extant and road sections. And so we benefit tremendously from David's work as well as Stephen's too.
If you just joined us, we're talking with Mark Wilson of the Asia Minor Research Center as we continue our biblical archaeology adventure tour in Turkey. So you've spent a lot of time thinking about Paul. What kind of relationship do you have with the Apostle Paul?
I know he sure walked and sailed a lot. So, yeah, he was an amazingly fit person. I mean, as we look at how people travel in the ancient world, they basically covered about 20 miles a day. There was quite a well-developed infrastructure for land travelers. For example, just north of us here in Antalya, we still have the remnants of what we call Mansioni, so a large way station where travelers could stop overnight, and they have really a full service type of place, not only food, shelter, but repair wagons, shoe horses, etc. along the way. And this is on the Via Sebaste, and that is still one of the best preserved sections of Roman road in Turkey today. You can walk up from the bottom of the Pamphylian Plain, roughly about a mile to the top. Some of the road has been disturbed by a pipeline that was built there in the 90s, but at the top of the pass, we still have an Augustan milestone from 6 BC measuring 139 Roman miles from that point to Pisidian Antioch. No. So Paul and Barnabas literally would have seen that milestone as they walked northward.
As we were driving along the highway today, I was thinking that these farmers that have fruit stands set up and other things to sell to travelers as they go by, and wondering if that would have been common in Paul's day.
Certainly, some of these rural villages, there would be wells and cisterns along the way providing water. I've got a good friend who's walked more on Paul's routes than anybody that I know. He's retired U.S. military, and he's spent many years in Turkey. And one of the things that he has taught me is that if you're moving Roman legions along roads, your animals, your livestock, they need one thing, water. And so they had quite a developed infrastructure for travel with cisterns and wells along the way. And you can spot these quite easily as you travel, for example, along the Via Sebaste to the north.
We were in Pisidian Antioch earlier today, and that's a major part of Paul's first missionary journey. I guess maybe you could call it a high point for Paul, especially in comparison to what happened in Lystra, which would probably be the low point when he was stoned and left for dead. What is your perspective on Pisidian Antioch in terms of its significance for Paul's ministry?
Well, we have to back up, I think, to the island of Cyprus, where Paul meets the Roman governor there, Sergius Paulus. And it was Stephen Mitchell in an article in 1980 first pointed out that Sergius Paulus is from Pisidian Antioch. That's his home colony. You probably saw in the museum there an inscription, El Sergius Pauli, from his family that's there. And so something very significant happens in Paphos. And we see now Paul and Barnabas and John Mark turning northward toward the Pamphylian coast, landing most probably at the port of Perge Magidus, which is down the coast here, walking. And note they don't stop in Perge on the way in. They continue on to Pisidian Antioch, which suggests that maybe Sergius Paulus had written a letter to the leaders in the colony, introducing Paul to them, maybe even being accompanied by a Roman official or someone to escort them in. And so they arrived there in the colony, already introduced by a very important family there. And of course, Paul has a very significant ministry there, first in the synagogue, then to the larger Gentile audience, and then out in the Cora, in the countryside there, because most of the people in these cities lived outside the city limits. So we reckon within the polis itself about 20-30%, but everyone else on the outside. Paul, we have his first recorded sermon in the book of Acts there, which is very significant.
What do you think Paul talked about or thought about as he was traveling on these many miles of his long journeys?
I think Paul probably had the Torah memorized. I think he was versant with it both in Hebrew and in Greek. He's a trilingual individual, and I think later on he becomes fluent in Latin too. So one of his unique qualifications for preaching. But I think he's got travelers with him, and I think he's visiting. I think he's a very curious person, asking questions and sharing his faith with fellow travelers. He also has a young man like Timothy and Titus with him, and he's discipling them along the way. I think he uses these daily journeys then for a number of different reasons, as well as praying himself.
Mark Wilson is founder and director of the Asia Minor Research Center. His office in Antalya, Turkey, was just a couple of minutes from our hotel. We're very thankful he could join us, even though he was coming off a busy 2 weeks of activity. That book that we mentioned, Biblical Turkey, is a great resource for discovering just how many biblical connections there are in Turkey. Just a few of which, some of the most prominent ones, we were able to visit during our biblical archaeology adventure tour last month. We traveled from Antioch in the east to Ephesus in the west, and saw a lot of beautiful country in between. Well, we have a copy of the Biblical Turkey book, which we are giving away to a listener to this program, and it might be you. All that we're asking is that you send us an email and tell us where you're listening and how long you have been listening. That's all we want to know. We're not going to add you to a mailing list or send you spam. We'd just like to hear from the other end of what is normally a one-way conversation. Send a note to radioscribe@gmail.com. If you're a regular listener, you know we have a website with additional resources related to biblical archaeology, such as breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority and other sources, and information on Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine. That information is at radioscribe.com. Don't get it mixed up. The website is radioscribe.com, and the address to send an email is radioscribe@gmail.com. If you're listening on Spotify or Amazon Music or some other podcasting platform, please give us a positive review so that others can learn about our program. We believe that biblical archaeology provides important context for understanding the Bible and the biblical world of 2,000 to 3,000 years ago. And it just so happens that there's always something new going on in biblical archaeology. That's why we can keep doing a new program every week for over 43 years now. So thank you for listening. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through biblical archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.